This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
We are continuing through our series of programs on life choices. And with me once again is Pastor Bob Perdue. Pastor Bob, I remember once talking with a fellow who said that he was a Christian, but he didn't feel like he had to go to a church or any kind of a local assembly to be a Christian. And I said, well, no, you don't have to be, but it's kind of one of those things that you ought to want to do. And today's topic is community. And I'm wondering, is this something like what you're going to be talking about when we look at choosing community?
Absolutely. I think the church was set up to be the community that we all need in order to experience life together as believers. And unfortunately, in many cases, it doesn't end up being that kind of community. And So it falls short of the mark, and some people reject it altogether. But I think the better idea would be to try to create that community within the church that would actually meet the need that we really have. Because as we talk about this subject of life and our connection to the Father, it's not something that we can experience just on our own. There is a corporate nature to it. And the reason there is because community is part of who we are. We were created out of community. God has eternally existed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in community, and He created out of that community. And last session, we talked about power being part of the positive identity that God created in us, and community is another part of that. Because when He created man, He said it's not good for him to be alone. There was some need in Adam that was not being met. Even though he was sinless at that point, he had a full connection to God, which means he had life, there was still something missing. There was a neediness there. And sometimes when we think of our neediness, we think of inadequacy and weakness. But the truth is that a certain type of neediness was built into us. It's part of the design. But Adam was like most men. He was needy, but he didn't know he was needy. He was clueless about his own neediness. So the very next thing that happens in Genesis chapter 2 after God says it's not good for him to be alone is he asks Adam to name all the animals. It seems like it's a little bit out of place in the narrative, but as Adam's naming the animals, they come in pairs, and it doesn't take him too long to figure out that there's nobody for him.
Right.
So God creates him needy, and then he sets him up to discover his own neediness. And as soon as he discovers that neediness, that's when God puts him to sleep. Adam signs the consent form, and surgery is accomplished, and Eve is created. She's created in the same way, though. She's needy as well. Mm-hmm. And the whole reason for this neediness is to drive us into relationship. God brings Eve to Adam, and they become one together. And what keeps them moving toward each other is the neediness with which they were created. So God kind of sets up this three-way community there in the garden where, ideally, Adam and Eve are to depend on God to meet all their needs, but they're to be committed to each other to minister to the needs of the other. So sometimes God would meet Adam's need just between he and Adam. But sometimes God would meet Adam's need through Eve. She would be the channel to minister to Adam. And the same thing with Eve. Sometimes God would meet her need, but sometimes he would use Adam to meet that need. And as they lived in that kind of relationship of dependence on God and commitment to minister to each other, then they moved toward each other into intimacy and community. That really is the ideal that God has set up for us. We are to be dependent on God for all of our needs, but in community with others so that others can minister to our needs and we have the opportunity to minister to theirs. Now, obviously, with that kind of community, because of our flesh, there are certain rules that we have to keep in mind. One of those is that we can't try to get life out of the other person in the community. When we do that, it's like we're saying God isn't there. We have to have it from that person. We can't also expect any other person to fully meet all of our needs, because all of our needs can only be met in the Father. We also have to become aware of the neediness of other people. If relationships in community are all built upon my needs, then that's narcissistic. It needs to be a balance between them knowing and ministering to my needs and me knowing and ministering to theirs. So we have to be willing to communicate our needs to others.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be willing to listen when others communicate their needs to us. And because of sin and flesh, we also have to be willing to be hurt by others in community, to know that there will be times when another person disappoints us. And instead of retreating and building an emotional wall, which is what we normally would want to do, we have to remain open and lean into God to meet the need that wasn't met by that person. And as we're able to do that, then we're able to live in community with one another and meet each other's needs. I spend a lot of time counseling people, and fortunately for them, my counsel is free. But many people go to a therapist to pay $150 an hour just to have somebody to talk to, just to have somebody they can share their heart with. And this is really something that I think God set up for us to be doing in community with each other because we need it. And the fact that it's not happening is what's made the counseling culture so lucrative, because it's a need that we have and it's a need that's not being met.
I often hear that we as men don't communicate enough with our spouse. Now, here we're talking about a marriage relationship, but if we are to communicate with each other, then many times at least half of that marriage relationship isn't doing a good job of it.
Absolutely. And being willing to share your heart with another person is the only way to enter into real relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this in our relationship with God. We had to choose honesty. We had to openly confess to God what was really going on in our lives in order to establish that connection with Him. The same thing is true of our relationships with other people. We can have shallow community if we're only willing to share on a cliche basis.
Yeah.
What about those Redskins?
Right.
How'd your team do the other day? And all those little cliches that we say that don't really have any meaning to them. But if we're going to have true community, we'll have to be willing to confess what's really going on in our lives to people who can reach out to us and minister to us in those places. James chapter 5 says that we're to confess our faults to one another and pray for one another so that we might be healed. Community is a healing place. So choosing community is to choose to experience God's healing and to experience the life that He meant for us to live.
I know that if we open ourselves up and confess, it leaves us vulnerable. And that's a very difficult place for many of us to be. And yet you're saying that's where we have to be.
Absolutely. If you think of, when we think of being vulnerable, we think of that as a negative. But really, being vulnerable means I've come out from behind the wall and I'm willing to share myself with someone else. What happens when we stay behind the wall is that our only position then is a defensive position.
Mm.
We're constantly defending ourselves because we're assuming that other people are out to hurt us,
right,
or get to us. So when we come out from behind the wall, we can really share who we are with others. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to accept it. When I first started sharing my testimony in the community of faith and started sharing my struggles with sexual addiction and gender confusion and depression and suicide and all of that, there were a lot of people who walked away from me.
Mm.
There were a lot of people who didn't want that level of honesty and transparency to be part of their community. And of course, that hurt. But for every person who did that, there were more people who stepped forward and said, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this struggle and I've struggled with this. And me coming out from behind my wall and stopping that defensiveness gave them permission to come out from behind their wall. And true community could be established. I think about that passage in Ecclesiastes where Solomon says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I think that passage of Scripture completely illustrates the model of community that we set up with God and two people who are being vulnerable, sharing their needs with each other, and ministering to those needs. When we fall behind the wall, there is nobody to pick us up because we've isolated ourselves. On my own journey, there were people. I had a counselor. I had a friend, my wife, three or four people that kind of became my support group during the time of my recovery. And these are people that I could share with no matter what was going on. And I knew that they would accept me and pray for me. And that, I think, was one of the greatest keys to the healing process in my life.
As we wrap this up then today, as we share this with people who are working sometimes in small groups, having that sense of community and knowing you need to be a part of the community will only enhance their ministry effectiveness in whatever they do.
Exactly. Because when you share your heart, it opens up people to share theirs as well.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.